Today, I'm going to be talking to the author of the Bitcoin children's book, A Treasure to HODL. This book sounds like Dr. Seuss, but with laser eyes. We talk about her journey into Bitcoin, how she created this book, and why planting freedom seeds early might just be the most important thing we do. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It helps more people discover my content and reach more people who may not understand Bitcoin and help them realize why they need it. I have Lindy here with me today, and she wrote an incredible children's book about Bitcoin, and I can't wait to hear all about it. We got to meet in person in Vegas for the Bitcoin conference, and she gave me my own copy. I want to start with how you got into Bitcoin and your journey there, and then how it led to the creation of this book.
Got it. Well, my journey starts back in 2012. When my 12-year-old son at the time came to his dad and I pleading with us to buy Bitcoin.
Really?
This is before Coinbase. Like, he had been studying about the miners, and, you know, this 12-year-old is trying to explain it to us. And we listened. We would listen to anything he had to say, but it was just so abstract and just foreign. And, you know, I can't hold it in my hand, so it's not real. Bennett, my son, was homeschooled, and so he's just a very intellectually curious kid. He always has been, now adult. There's not really a day that goes by that I have a conversation with him that I don't say, "Why do you know that?"
Yeah.
So that's just his personality, and he continued to follow it and talk about Bitcoin. So it was always just kind of right there. It wasn't until 2021 that he's like, "Mom, now there's this platform, Coinbase. You don't have to do anything like on the dark web. You should really just, if you've got some money, put it in there." And so I did. I opened a Coinbase account, and I think I started with like $1,000, and just kind of watched it. Still didn't do any kind of a deep dive. Last year in August, I lost my husband. You know, Chuck had... He cultivated a princess in me in that he took care of everything. He was a very successful businessman. He just handled all of our finances, and I was happy to let him. And so when he passed away, I was left just, I mean, I'm a very capable person. I've started and run my own businesses, but as far as our home finances, and he had three businesses, I was completely lost. And so I just had to really dig in, and he had been sick, and so he hadn't been able to work for a year, and we were trying to heal him naturally, which meant insurance was of no help. So we had really dipped heavily into our savings. So I was left with a mess, a complete mess. And, you know, I'm a Christian, and, you know, cried out to the Lord more, you know, in the past couple years than possibly ever. And Bitcoin just kept coming up. I mean, he had life insurance, and I knew I had to be smart with it. And so, you know, when I just had that, just Bitcoin, I don't know what else to contribute it to other than the Holy Spirit's leading. And I try to be, you know, I pray to be sensitive to that. And so I set out to validate my feeling. It wasn't like I was all in without any validation, you know, where like, don't trust, verify. And so I threw my entire being into just consuming everything I could about Bitcoin. It was a good distraction for one. And, you know, I watched every Saylor video you could find, tons of podcasts, read the Bitcoin Standard, a bullish case for Bitcoin, Audible. I had earbuds in doing dishes, cooking, washing clothes. It was all Bitcoin. And so as the different life insurance policies came out, I just was more and more compelled. This is what I need to do.
I wanted to bring up being led to Bitcoin and feeling like it's a Holy Spirit or higher power that kind of just guided you there. Because even when you think about your son being a 12-year-old, you know, that was telling you about this stuff so early, that's really rare. You know, for a kid to take that interest and kind of be that voice that's telling you about it at such a young age. So that's incredible, first of all, that he's able to
learn about stuff like this and actually have the kind of enthusiasm about it at a young age, and, you know, plant that seed in your mind from a young age too. And it's crazy that he was the first voice telling you about it. That's your own kid. But then just being left with the mess that you're that last year that you said you were trying and like using up your savings and trying to, you know, I can't imagine the feeling. But also when you're in that part of your life where you're feeling like lost and being guided towards Bitcoin is like just this persistent kind of back of your mind feeling like you should look into this more. It does feel like you're drawn to it somehow at a point where you're in despair and you're lost and you're hopeless. And it's funny how when you have that hopeless feeling, you're drawn to it to actually learn about it more and take more of a dive. So I think that's something that I found in common with myself and other guests too.
I mean, it's just, it's a commitment. Like, especially with me going, like, I felt like I wanted to go all in. And that sounds reckless unless you know about Bitcoin. I mean, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. And then, but that's what I felt like I needed to do. And I was so compelled to do that. It felt so right. And there's one thing that I've learned throughout my lifetime, and that is to trust my instinct. Not blindly, like I said, if I trusted my instinct blindly, I just would have done it. But I did validate it. I did do the work. I put in the hours, I did the work. And so there's not a moment since I put everything into Bitcoin that I have questioned it, not for one second. No matter what it's doing, I feel confident that I did the right thing.
Yeah, it speaks to the whole idea that the more that you know about something, the more you understand it. So the more comfortable you feel not diversifying and knowing it's the best place to save your money. It's like once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So what year was that again? When
this was last year in August. So I knew I had, like I said, he had been really sick, hard worker, had always taken care of everything, but there was a mess left and just an enormous tax burden. You know, I've got a 16-year-old daughter who had just watched her dad deteriorate, and, you know, 100% of me was taking care of him. And so, you know, she's lost her dad. I've lost my husband. And the last thing I want to have to do, I am not afraid of hard work, and I do not have a problem going out and getting a job, but I homeschool her, and we had just been through this traumatic thing, and to be given the blessing of time, which is what Bitcoin gives, and be able to be home with her and heal together and be able to pour my focus, and not just my time, but my focus. If you're worried about finances, you're distracted and you're on edge and you're worried. And so to have those things eliminated because of the gift that Bitcoin is like the biggest blessing ever. I've truly been able to, you know, take care of our finances for us and just pour myself into her.
It really does give you time, because when you start saving in Bitcoin, you don't feel anxiety and despair and hopelessness. You were lucky to spend time with her. You found an answer, like the best answer. And I'm proud of you for doing that. As you found Bitcoin, as you felt drawn to it, the grief that you felt and the loss, making your husband proud that you're continuing, you know, everything he did for you guys all these years.
He would be so proud.
It's crazy for me to think that he guided you to it, but it's also not crazy because you feel spiritually like drawn to it in a way. But just knowing that maybe people in your life, when they hear about Bitcoin from somebody and they don't really believe it, but then after they pass away, maybe they're like in this realm where they understand and they actually are like, hey, you know, I know what this could be. I don't know. I just feel like it's not outside of my thought process to think, like, I do believe that they could be understanding truth from another place, another dimension, another like heaven, whatever that is, and guide you toward it. So I don't know. I just believe in that. And when did you start writing the book? Since this was only a year ago, how did the creativity build like from that place that you were in?
You know, we all kind of have unspoken bucket lists, and writing a children's book has always been on mine. And Chuck and I talked about a couple different concepts I've had. But I've never really gotten past, you know, just doodling some notes off and on. It was actually New Year's night. I was really missing him, which is a silly time to miss him because he would have already been in bed before midnight. My daughter was in her room reading. We didn't have any plans. And I just was in my feelings missing him. And I sat down with my laptop at the kitchen table of all places. And it just came out of nowhere. It's not something I had ever even thought about. But it just came and I sat down and I had a notepad because I'm a pen and paper person. And had my laptop as well and just started working on it. And Stacy, I looked up and it was 3:30 a.m. And I had the beginnings. I had, you know, more than half of what the final book is. Of course, I went back and like worked on the metering and the rhyming and the scale and all of it. But I had something substantial there.
When I read that book, I was so excited. My daughter ended up reading it. I made a little video of her reading it and she loved it. And it's fun for kids to read because it's like a Dr. Seuss style book. Yeah. It's incredible the way you wrote it. Yeah. If you could show it to people.
This is an ARC. This is an advanced reader copy that I had to take to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy
to get it. It was so, it feels so good. Like the cover feels, it's a very nice book. But when you read it, it's like the way that a Dr. Seuss book is just a classic, like an instant classic. That's how this one feels.
Well, thank you. That's a high compliment.
Dr. Seuss meets Sats. So when my daughter read it, she really enjoyed it because it was fun to read because of the rhyming. But when she came away from it at the end, like her takeaway from the book was,
so the government printed paper money, and that's really bad for people. So that's why you need Bitcoin. It doesn't cause inflation. I'm a kid. My parents invest and I'm happy to do, so tell your parents to do it too. It's really good and really sweet. Just try it and you'll be neat.
She easily understood the whole concept as a 9-year-old girl. And people I've spoken to have said that they've gone to these prestigious colleges. They know people with MBAs in finance that still don't understand inflation. And when you can write a children's book where a 9-year-old kid gets it, it's amazing. So after she read that book and we made her YouTube video on it, I sent it to her teacher. Her teacher played it for the class and they loved it. Her teacher loved it.
That's so exciting to hear.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way for a parent to understand Bitcoin because it's a simple way. Like if they hear their kids read it, it really just like you need to kind of like make it fun and short and simple. And it's you do such a great job. Like you must have had like it's so well laid out from what the problem is, you know, how it's broken. You know, did you have that broken up in segments to make rhymes for them?
When I was writing it, I kind of thought through the process that I went through when I was learning about it, because Bitcoin, we can overcomplicate it. And if you get down to the nitty gritty, it is complicated. And, you know, a lot of it's not tangible. You're talking about computers and technology. And I think for my age group, that alone can be a hurdle to overcome. So I did break it down into subjects like barter, the money printer, inflation, how it's bad. And then in the most simplistic way I could about the mining and the miners being rewarded with Bitcoin.
The way that you broke down the mining in a simple way, in a fun way, was amazing.
Well, and you know, I've talked about Bitcoin to my friends since knowing about it. And they're always just like, it's just too much. I just don't understand it. Like before they even start talking. So when I was writing the entire time, I'm thinking, this is a Trojan horse to get into a home for the parents. That's what I'm thinking the whole time. Like I want it to be an amazing kids book that kids can enjoy. But ultimately, it's about the parents who are reading it to them. Like I imagine the Bitcoin uncle giving it to his niece, who, you know, the Bitcoin uncle's sister and brother-in-law won't listen to him. But you give the book to the niece and they read the book. And that in part is why I added the glossary to the end. It's a kid-friendly glossary, which means it's an adult-friendly glossary.
Yes. What I love about that is that, yes, there are always like aunts or uncles or people that give your kid a book because that's something they're into or something that they think is important in life. So when you get this book as a gift, or like, you're a parent who doesn't understand Bitcoin and your kid receives this book for like a lot of people do it where they give books instead of a birthday card. They'll write
Books
inside the
are my
book and
favorite birthday gift to give a child. They always have been.
yeah, and people love, like, out of all things, kids have too many toys these days.
Right.
It's like, give them something that they need to, they love reading. It's good for them. It's good to like detach from technology. So if a parent, an uncle or an aunt or somebody who's into Bitcoin and the parents still don't get it, you give them this book. And sometimes the kids may be too young to read. So they're like, Mom, Dad, read me a bedtime story.
Yep.
So then the mom and dad have to read it to the kid. And they're like,
That's
read me this book.
the
I just got it for my birthday. Read it to me. So as the kid still might be too young to even understand what it's saying, they just want to be read a book at night. The parents reading it thinking, holy crap, yeah, I should look into this. Like, this is actually something, And even if the kid understands it and they get the book as a gift, they can say, my daughter, the way she is, she runs up to me telling me things that she's learned all the time. So parents, as we get older, I've seen it with people older than my generation. They're always saying, there's always all these new things. We don't understand it, but our kids get it. They know all the new stuff. So once they hear a kid run up to them, tell them something new that they learned, they're like, oh, yeah, there are all these new things changing in the world, and I'm not aware of it. So you do have to listen to kids and younger people and learn how things are
Absolutely.
changing.
Yeah.
It's very important for them to actually realize, I don't know everything because the world is changing so fast. I do have to listen to the youth and actually learn something. How long did it take you to fully write it from? Like when you started.
New Year's night, that was about half. I immediately shared it with a state, well, he was a former state representative. I come from an advocacy background, founded the largest grassroots organization here in Mississippi, and so worked really closely with lawmakers. And a former lawmaker who is friendly to my cause, he no longer does that, but he holds 99% of his liquid assets in Bitcoin, and he has done very well for himself, and he evangelizes Bitcoin. And so he was one of the resources that I counted on when I was studying, because I actually knew him and I trusted that he knew what he was talking about. So I reached out to Joel Baumgar is his name. He's actually speaking in Prague. And I sent just my typed up little manuscript, and his reaction to it far exceeded my expectations. He's not like, it shocked me. His reaction was very positive. And so at that moment in time, I was thinking, I'll finish it. I'll, get an illustrator. I'll put it on Amazon and just do like KDP print on demand. But after he reacted like he did, I'm like, I think I have something here. I'm gonna like really pursue it like a job. And so I did. This particular style of art, I had seen a illustrator in Sweden has like art like this, these characters. And so I reached out to her and I didn't hear anything back. And so I put out an ad, and I had a lot of people ask, and I had four, they happened to all be guys. I just asked them, just draw me a little boy in the style that I've shown. And Kenny Noley, my illustrator, nailed it, and he has been amazing to work with. The art, I let him go. I gave him like creative freedom. We collaborated on a few things that I kind of had a vision for, and he just brought it to life. I mean, a picture book is nothing without the pictures.
Yeah.
I freaking love my art in the book
It's
so
great.
much. I had the final thing ready, a month or so ahead of Vegas,
Okay.
and worked with a book manufacturer here in the States to get this little 8x8 ready for that. But now, right now, I'm working with an actual book designer, professional who is going to help me with the book jacket. And I am working with her to just tighten everything up and put on the finishing touches. It's going to be incredible.
I already
And
think it's perfect. I don't even know what else you could add to it. I
oh, it's
just
going
think
to be
it's perfect.
better, Stacey. It'll be
Yeah.
better. It's going to be a bigger book because I do want it to be a giftable. And I always like to gift like a nice big book with the pretty, you know, with the jacket on it. But what I'm working the hardest on right now is getting endorsements. I want there to be endorsements on the back cover of the book. And so that's why it was so important to me to take some art copies to Vegas so I could put them in the hands of people who helped me on my journey, because, you know, I'd like to have an endorsement from them on the back of the book. So I'm following up. Everyone's super busy. And as soon as they recover from Vegas, they're headed to Prague. So it's hard to catch up with people, but
I'm endorsing your book right here and right now.
I need an endorsement for you because I want to have them rotating through my website. To me, reviews are what matter when I'm looking at a product. Like, I want to see what are other people saying about it. That carries a lot of weight for me. So right now, people can go to lindymagee.com, LindyMagee, and just drop their email address. And when the book is available for pre-order, which right now we're shooting for mid-July.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, available for pre-order. I could put it up for pre-order now. I have enough information, but I really want to be able to give people a window of time when they can expect to receive it. And I need a little bit more time before I can do that. But yeah, they can drop their email address and they will get an email from me to let them know when it's available.
I was there in the moment at Bitcoin Vegas when you handed the book to David Bailey.
Yes.
You know, directly. So that was huge.
And Lawrence, you were right there as well.
And Lawrence, yes. You handed it straight to Lawrence and he was super excited. And I saw David Bailey posted, you know, his little gifts from Vegas and your book was right there.
Got a cameo. It's had a cameo on Efrat's X as well. Makes me so excited.
Yeah. And if for people that don't know, David Bailey is the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine. And then you also said that you were there for when J.D. Vance spoke and you were able to hand your book to his Secret Service.
Yes. I made friends with Secret Service and he was like, we can't take this. It has to go to the staff. And I was like, but Usha's going to love this. She likes to read to her kids. And he was like, let me go see. So he walked off. He was gone for like 5 minutes and he came back and he's like, I've got staff I can give it to. And he took it back. So
that's amazing.
Fingers crossed. And Usha right now is doing a challenge for all of our school kids across the nation where they can read, I think it's 12 books and fill out something online and someone's going to win like a trip to DC. So I have put out on my X and I'm on Facebook as the platform. I know I'm old, but that's where I have a good following on Facebook and I love my Facebook community. I hate Facebook. That's where I grew my grassroots. So I have a really big following of very loyal people who are supportive of me. So I value that community on Facebook. But I've shared there and on X as well that if you go to my website and fill out the little form and put in HODL, that I will send the digital version so your kids can read it and it can be one of their 12 books.
Yes, that's awesome. And also for people that I remember you telling me a little bit about the title and how that whole thing happened. So if you could explain to people what they thought about the title and why you chose it.
Yeah, well, it's Bitcoin, a treasure to HODL. When you really get in and do the work, you find HODL used a lot. And so I wanted this to be the name. And then it also occurred to me, people are going to see this like on a bookshelf and be like, I cannot believe there's a book published with a misspelling.
Yep.
So, but when you read the book and you get to the end, there's a did you know section, and I imagine most of your audience already knows this, but for those who don't, HODL isn't a typo. Well, actually, it was at first. In 2013, during a wild Bitcoin price swing, someone meant to type HODL in an online forum but accidentally wrote HODL. The Bitcoin community loved it, and it quickly became a rallying cry for holding onto your Bitcoin no matter what. And then Jack Mallers did his release of the hoodies.
Uh-huh.
And read the actual Bitcoin forum, which I had read before. This is the kid appropriate version of what HODL is. But for anyone,
I love that, and it's not a typo, and it teaches you inside the book why. The art is incredible, and I wish you could, I would like, it'd be nice to read the whole thing if you wanted to. I mean, I think it's cool to hear you actually read it.
I have no problem sharing. I feel like a book, you know, if it's a good book and I share it, it makes people want to go buy it.
Yeah. Would you want to read it? It's up to you.
I mean, I will. I have it memorized.
You?
I don't know how I wouldn't.
Yeah.
The dedication, and then the, boy, you learn a book. If I would have known what was involved in self-publishing a book, I don't know that I would have done it. It's a lot of work.
People always say that about starting something, that once you realize how much work it took, you don't know if you would have ever done it.
It's been a learning curve. It's been a lot, but mostly a labor of love. I'm really proud. I'm really proud of what this is and the impact that I pray it has. I do hope it has impact. Okay, should I go for it?
Yes, I would love it.
All right. Let's see. Long ago, if you wanted a treat, you'd trade your eggs for something sweet. But trading was tricky. It could be tough. What if nobody wanted your stuff? God gave us wisdom to make trade smarter. Coins became money. They replaced barter. But coins were bulky and not so light. So paper money made things right. This is a favorite page, too, for little kids I've seen. At first, it worked so light, so new. Paper made trading easy to do. But then came a problem. One that was bad. Money printers went crazy and printed like mad. The more money they printed, the less value it had.
My daughter really loved that page.
I've noticed that when I've had other friends record their kids reading it, and the money printer gets a laugh.
And when they hear the word bad, they're like, that was bad. They're like, yes, that's yeah. Bad.
Saving shrank as prices grew. Inflation steals. It affects you too. It made saving hard for families each day. Their money stretched thin in every which way.
So well done. The rhymes are just great.
Okay. But a new kind of money came to be, stable and secure for you and for me. A problem so big needed something bright, and Bitcoin was born to make things right. And here is the Satoshi cape.
Yeah, I love that.
And I eventually would like to have Satoshi capes. I feel like every little child needs a Satoshi.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. Yeah.
It's in the plans. It's in the works.
Mm-hmm.
It's digital gold with none to spare. It won't ever inflate. Bitcoin is rare. And how is it made, this treasure so fine? Let's dig in and learn in a Bitcoin mine.
Right there, parents are probably like, yes, what is this?
Deep in computers where puzzles are spun, the miners are racing, all working as one, solving each puzzle to make Bitcoin run. This is one of my favorite spreads. They're very excited.
Great. Yes.
Each puzzle they solve adds blocks to the chain, keeping it honest, fair, and the same. When miners succeed, new Bitcoin is made, rewarding their work. It's how they get paid. Miners and nodes, each playing a part, protecting the network right from the start. With code so clever and rules so clear, Bitcoin connects us peer to peer.
I love that drawing too. Everyone just like holding hands around it.
No kings, no rulers, no mighty banks, just math and miners, no tricks, no pranks. No weekends off, no banking delay. Bitcoin moves anytime, any day. With Bitcoin as money, it's secure and true, safe in your hands. It belongs to you. It's more than just money. It's saving with care for dreams yet to come and moments to share. This too, this is very Bitcoin culture-ish. Some may wait, some may doubt, but when it's time, they'll figure it out. Not just for now, but for years ahead, Bitcoin's a seed. Watch it spread. Some trade, some sell, some play and guess, but hodlers win. Patience is best. A little today, a lot down the line, Bitcoin stacks up. Just give it some time. With Bitcoin, we're stronger. Our community thrives. Together we prosper. It brightens our lives. Look at my cute little people.
I love that. They're all holding hands.
They are. Bitcoin is freedom for young and for old. It's the very best money for all to hold. So hodl it tight and let it grow. Bitcoin to the moon. Let's go.
It's got the little Bitcoin flag on the moon too.
And then the end, not really. There's more to explore. Bitcoin is waiting. Go learn some more.
I love that art too for that.
Me too. I want his outfit. it might make sense to get some in case it catches on, Satoshi Nakamoto. And then I'm not going to read all this to y'all, but did you know? And then there is a 3-spread glossary.
That's incredible.
With words like barter, bear market, Bitcoin, Bitcoin maxi, blockchain, bull market, DCA, decentralization, fiat money, FUD, halving, inflation, and on.
That's great. I love that you say halving and not halving. I don't like when people say halving. Like they actually say like, or they call it halvening. I'm sorry. They don't call it halving. They call it halvening.
Halvening.
And okay. I'm like, no, it's a halving. It's spelled halving. Thank you so much for reading that to us. I was so excited when you said you would do it. So
my pleasure.
So when you say you're going to be putting it up for pre-order, like, are you doing this all on your own? Is this all self-funded at this point? Like,
yes.
Do you get anybody? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's Bitcoin funded.
Bitcoin funded. Yes.
Yeah. I'm on a Bitcoin standard. Unless I sell something, I don't have fiat. I'm just grateful for the people in the space that have made that possible for me. You know, Strike's bill pay, the Coinbase debit card. But yeah, it's Bitcoin funded. And, you know, initially I was like, I will just be happy if I get back what I've invested. But no, now I'm thinking big. And, you know, I do want to go do readings in schools. And I actually go and pitch to a distributor in Nashville next month.
That's great.
It's unheard of for like a first time author with just one book to get a distributorship.
Yeah, I was wondering if you have any other, like any sequels planned or anything else related
to this? I have another book that will be kind of a sister. It's not Bitcoin, but it's freedom. It's freedom-minded, so.
You could do a lot with this mindset of what Bitcoin is, but the whole idea of what Bitcoin brings you in life and the ideals that Bitcoiners stand by, it's like you can make a whole series of books.
Yeah.
So that would be incredible for going forward. Book reading at schools would be great because you could just bring stacks of books there and just be able to sell them, spreading the word so they could take it home to their parents or something too. It could be like an event. I don't know.
Or you get a school interested and I'll fly my happy self right out there and, you know, they can partner with other schools in the area so I can hit several and read it to the kids and then, you know, sign them a book and let them take it home with them. It's educational and it's 2025 and, you know, the United States of America has a Bitcoin treasury.
Right.
We need to be talking about it.
Keep reaching high, keep dreaming big, because if you create even a series, you know, everything that Bitcoin is a treasure, it's about being free, you know, being sovereign, being brave, being thinking outside the box, like different ideas that Bitcoiners believe. It's pretty much stuff that we want to teach our kids that we all think is important. That's what Bitcoin represents, like a lot of that stuff.
You talking about those themes too makes me think of the Tuttle Twins. They have an absolutely incredible collection of children's books and even TV now. I don't know if you've seen their Bitcoin cartoon.
I haven't seen
the cartoon. It's so good,
Stacey. Yeah.
It's really good.
I got to see it because I saw their setup. I saw they had their books available at the Bitcoin conference. Yours. The rhyming and the illustrations and the younger age that you can present in the ease of learning. I didn't read the Tuttle Twins book, but I'm sure it's not a children's book as much.
They have little board books like ABCs, not necessarily on Bitcoin that I'm aware of, but yeah, they span across. But I just take inspiration from that. And it's exciting to me to see. I mean, there is so much room for growth in this area for resources for our kids having to do with Bitcoin. Like the table is big and long. Pull up a chair, bring something good for our kids. There's plenty of room. That's how I see that.
Yeah. And you have this talent book, but you have so much room for growth because you did create such an incredible book that this is just the beginning. You definitely have creativity for that and a gift for making it fun and interesting the way you did. So I can see you doing so much more with this. And I want to do everything I can to share it and keep sharing it and all of your work in the future. Would you be able to do Amazon pre-orders or no?
Right now I'm focused. I have a Shopify account and I did Shopify because I do love Amazon and hopping on there and all my information's in there. But if you ever bought from another Shopify site, It's the same thing. You can hop on when you put your email address in, everything's there. But I'm focused on my Shopify site right now. And that's where I'll be doing all of my pre-orders. And unless I do get a distributor right off the bat, which is like nil, but we can pray that happens. You know, I'm gonna go out swinging. Eventually, yes, maybe, but I want to focus on doing a really good job with my site rather than kind of divide myself up. Amazon as an indie author, it can be complicated and getting, you know, fulfillment to them and that kind of thing. I just feel like I'd be spreading myself thin. A lot of authors will just publish like on Amazon and do print on demand. I didn't want to do that. They only have paperback. I had to have a hardback book and I'm a control freak. So it needs to look exactly like I want it to look. And I don't trust print on demand for a children's book.
I wonder if there's like a specific distributor for Bitcoin books, like people that distribute. I know that Lawrence is going through Amazon, I think, Lawrence Lippard.
Well, I think he does. Well, Saif Al-Din has his own imprint.
Does he?
Because like Lynn Alden, I think, published with Saif Al-Din. I might be wrong about that, but I do know he has his own imprint and that he has, because Matthew, I can't remember his last name, starts with an L, that did Fiat Food.
Okay.
That book is fantastic, by the way. Is published under Saif Al-Din's imprint.
Okay.
So
yeah. So if you like, maybe like can connect with a group of print, like, is that what that means? Group of printers?
Well, like if I just like you, like I could have approached him and asked, would he want to publish under his imprint, but he doesn't have any children's stuff. And honestly, I didn't even realize he had his own until after I was already, you know, on my own little path. And I'm happy with the way that I've done things. You know, I do have my own imprint, Think Free Press, and have other books that I want to do as well. So I'm just going to be my lone little.
I love that. I love the name of it too. Think Free Press. How did it feel to be featured in that Forbes article? Or what was that, an article or a post?
It was an article on there in their technology branch of Forbes online.
Yeah.
It was exciting. I knew that the woman I was talking to, I think she saw me talking to someone else about the book and she asked me. And that was one thing that was really encouraging at the conference is anytime I had the book out talking to someone, I would look up and have a little gathering of people. They were interested. So that was very encouraging. But yeah, she asked about it and she was asking me a lot of questions and she eventually told me, she's like, I write for Forbes. And then I got home from the conference and had an email from her and it said, you're in Forbes with a link.
You're doing something right. You know, you're getting attention, not just from her and putting you in that, you know, link that she sent you. Also having groups of people just gathering around when you're talking about it, that just shows you that it's something people are interested in. It's really special. So it's good that you are noticing that recognition because people want something like this and they would share it with other people in their family and friends because they're interested in it. So even if you're not specifically targeting people that don't understand Bitcoin at first at all, it's like all the Bitcoiners would love to buy any children in their life this book. I think it'd be the perfect gift.
That is the hope.
I wanted to ask you about next year. Did you get those free tickets or anything for the Bitcoin conference?
Did.
Yes. Awesome.
I
okay.
Did.
I'm excited for that.
I have a dream of next year. I don't want my own vendor booth because I don't want to be tied down because it is so much fun to be out and meeting other people. Like that was the best part about the conference. I imagine you probably would agree with that. I missed so many of the discussions that I wanted to watch and I've come home and I'm still watching those, but you just don't get an opportunity to be around, you know, the people that you have gotten to know on X and that sort of thing. So I really relished every second of that. I would love to partner with a booth that's there and just come in like a couple times each day and sign books and sell my books at the next one. So, and it would be so fun to be part of any kind of panel, you know, that has to do with families.
I think so. And there were panels like with different people that talk about certain things. So you can go watch different stages that all have different, it's like a live podcast. So, or a live panel. And it was a lot of fun. And being around that many Bitcoiners was like, it felt like we were at Disney World for us. You know, we were just excited to be around a lot of Bitcoiners and hear Bitcoiners talk. I would love to make it a tradition and go, you know, to Vegas every year. And I know that Bitcoin Prague is going on right now. Something, you know, on the bucket list would be great to go to other conferences.
I know I have my site. I'm like Dubai. Mm-hmm. I'm GPTing. Do the children of Dubai speak and read English? Can I bring them to Dubai?
Right.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they do a large percentage.
I think that most countries learn English, you know, in school because it's so important to know a language that's spoken everywhere. So, this would be a great tradition to have just for people that just understand this shift that's happening to truth. And being around more of those people that just understand it, it feels so good. And you just feel like you're all just in person somewhere together. So it's a lot of fun. I can't wait till next year in Vegas. And that would be amazing if you get to be on your books and book for now. But, you know, if you have any future
plans. For now.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me today. This has been so much fun. I can't wait to share your video.
Thank you for having me and for just being a hype girl for my book. I really appreciate it. And I am one that does not miss your podcast. I might not get it as soon as it comes out, but it's going to be playing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just the conversation style. It's really fun to listen to.
Thank you. I hope that people don't think that I'm slacking when I don't post videos for a little while because I've had a little break now for probably a week, but I hope people don't think that I'm taking too long of a break.
No, you're just normalizing, Stacey. You can only keep at the pace you started out for so long.
Okay, good. I'm glad people like understand that because I'm not trying to like postpone these videos, but I do want to push them out. I don't want it to be too long. And especially when you start your pre-orders, I want to get it out before that happens. I'm going to, you know, try to boost it up a little bit, you know, at least maybe more than once a week, you know, just to get them out there. Cause I don't like waiting too long after I have great
time. Anytime's a good time.
Okay.
Anytime's a good time.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. Thank you for reading the book for me too.
You're welcome. That was fun.
I can't wait to share it and I will see you around X. Have a great day.
You too. Bye, Stacey.
Take care. Bye-bye.